The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
I'm going to take the liberty again this week to deviate somewhat from the Parashas HaShavua and continue what we gave previously to shiurim on, and that is the number of mitzvahs that one transgresses when he speaks Loshon Hara. If we would want to link it to the Sedra, the beginning of Parashat Vayakel begins with two subjects. One, the subject of Shabbos, as it states, Vayakel Meshes Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael V'yem Aleihem Eila Dvorim Asher Tzivu Hashem La'asei Sheisom Sheish Yisrom Yim Te'osom Alocha. Then Meshe gathered all the people together and he told them that this is what Hashem has commanded. 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day it shall be sanctified as Shabbos to you. You shall not do any work. And then the second subject, which is the basic subject of the parsha, is there hadavar asher tziva Hashem le'mor k'chumi itchem truma l'Hashem kol nediv liba yevi'el es trumas Hashem. This is what Hashem has commanded. Everyone should bring their offerings, their contributions for the building of the Mishkan of the sanctuary. So we're dealing here with two parshas, Shabbos and the sanctuary. And the two are linked. The Gemara learns from here that what constitutes a malocha, what constitutes an act of work which we are not allowed to do on Shabbos. Anything that constituted a malocha, an act of work, which was involved in the building of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. So we see where they are linked together. In our shiur this evening, where we further discuss the Isser of Loshon Hara, we will see that Loshon Hara has an additional link to Shabbos and to the sanctuary, which will be brought out later in the shiur. So it does have an application to the parsha. Now, we were learning that the Chofetz Chaim, Zichrono Livrocha, in a Sefer Chofetz Chaim, writes that when one transgresses Loshon Hara, slandering his fellow man, then there's a possibility for him to transgress 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and also three curses which are mentioned in the Torah. In the last two shurim, we went through the 17 negative commandments. And this evening I would like to go through 7 of the 14 positive commandments, which not only do we learn a lot about Loshon Hara, but we learn a lot about many mitzvahs, important mitzvahs in the Torah. So this evening I would like to take half of those positive commandments, and then perhaps on another occasion we will be able to take the other half. Before we start though, let's just refresh ourselves on a few points, and that is that when you slander your fellow man, it's a very, very severe error in the eyes of the Torah. As we mentioned at length before, it was the first transgression of man. It was through this that the serpent slandered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, and said that the reason why you should not eat from this tree is because then you will be as great as him, and this is why he prohibited it. And through this, death came to the world. Through this also was the Golus Mitzrayim, the exile to Egypt, because Yosef had brought slander upon his brothers. And through this came all of the exiles from Eretz Yisrael because of the Maraglim. When the scouts came to Eretz Yisrael, they slandered the land. And this was directly involved in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and of Beitar, the city of Beitar. And so we can go on and on, that this is what the Chazal call an Avera, perhaps the most serious Avera in the Torah. And on that, the Chofetz Chaim adds to it that it's possible that many times a person not knowing so, but this nevertheless is not a justification, that he can transgress almost all of the negative commandments and positive commandments which involve man and his fellow man, and many which involve man and a Kodesh Baruch. And then also,
that when we speak of Lashon Hara, there are two types. When you criticize or you defame downright your fellow man, or if you talebear, if you bring information about your fellow man to another person, something about him or something that he said that will be used against him, and that's called rechilus. Something that he said about that person. And then Lashon Hara is either on something which is false or on something which is true. Just because it's true, there's no justification for it. It's either in presence of the person that's being said against or behind his back. And the Isurim, the prohibitions, involve both this one who's telling over the Lashon Hara and the one who's accepting it. If someone listens to it and he accepts it and believes it, then he is of equal guilt. The first positive commandment, which the Chofetz Chaim lists, is Zohar es asher osa Hashem melakecho leMiriam baderech. You shall remember what Hashem did to Miriam on the bederech betzeischem in Mitzrayim, on the derech, on the way when you were going out of Egypt. Now this commandment is found in Parshas Ketetzer, Chof Daletes. Torah is telling us, "Yishomer b'neged tzaras, nishmer b'yayv l'asis, kechol asher yireh eschem ha'kohanim alavim." That a person should be very careful about guarding against a tzaras. A tzaras is a type of a leprosy, a type of a plague. And if a person is stricken with this, then he must do only in accordance to what the kohanim and the levim command him. Zohar es asher osa Hashem alakecho leMiriam baderech betzeischem min Mitzrayim. And you should remember what Hashem did to Miriam on the way when they went out of Egypt. Now what does one thing have to do with the other? So the Sifri asks us. The Sifri tells us, because Miriam was stricken with leprosy because she slandered her brother Moshe. There was the case when after the giving of the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told everyone to return to their homes for 3 days before the giving of the Torah, they were commanded not to approach their wives. But afterwards he told everyone to return to their homes. Later on, it became known to Miriam that Moshe never returned to his wife Tzipora. So Miriam became upset, and she wanted to try to rectify the situation. So she went to speak to Aaron, and she spoke against Moshe. And she said, "Why did Moshe return to his wife? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to him alone. He spoke to everyone, to all of us. And we were all permitted to go back to our wives or husbands. So why didn't Moshe return? Is he more sanctified than us? He's not greater than the others." And of course, Baruch became very angry with this. He says, "You dare to speak against Moshe, my servant, who's Naaman b'chol beisi, who's more faithful to me and the entire household of Israel. He dared to speak against him." And Miriam was stricken with leprosy. And she had to be sent outside of the tent. This is not the type of leprosy that we know, it's a different type. She had to be sent outside of the camp and wait the amount of days which is required until she was cured. So the Torah tells us, Yishom Elecho, you shall guard yourselves from leprosy, and Zohar, you shall remember what Hashem did to Miriam, because this is how you will guard yourselves from getting this plague. Because this plague comes because of Lashon Hara. Therefore, you should remember what Hashem, it's a positive commandment to remember what Hashem did to Miriam. And if you will remember what Hashem did to Miriam, then you will remember not to speak Lashon Hara. And then this way you will be guarding yourselves against the plague of Lashon Hara. Now the Lashon of the Sifri writes that a person should always remember. What does it mean, remember? Yochel Belev, does it mean remember in one's heart? No, because it already says Ishobelacho, guard yourself from forgetting. That means in one's heart. So from here it means Zohar Bepeh. To fulfill this mitzvah, you have to speak about it. It's not enough just to remember. You have to speak about it. We had a mitzvah just recently like that. The other week was a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment. You should remember what Amalek did to you. And it's a mitzvah we should always remember. And there are also the Sifri Darshins. Not only you should remember mentally, you have to remember verbally. That's why we read it from the Sefer Torah on the Shabbos before Purim. So in order to fulfill this mitzvah properly, you must remember verbally. Speak about it, the Sifri says. The Ramban says even further. The Ramban in his Pirush writes that in order to fulfill this mitzvah, this is a mitzvah that we don't, you'll see, it's something that we're very lax in. In order to fulfill this mitzvah, you have to speak about it and tell your children. It's a mitzvah to tell your children what Hashem did to Miriam, in order that we should always remember what the great Avera of Lashon Hara brings upon a person. And to fulfill this mitzvah, it means that you have to tell your children. Just like on the Seder night, we tell our children of the going out of Egypt, we have to tell our children about this of Miriam. And the Rabban mentions them. He says, you think it was so easy for the Torah to permit you to publicize this about that great Tzaddikus, this great righteous woman, Miriam? But still, the Torah did this. Not because it was interested in downriding Miriam. Miriam was from the most righteous people that ever lived. She was from the three redeemers of Egypt, Mesha, Aaron, and Miriam. But because so terrible is this Avera, and because Baruch Hu wanted to instruct the generations to guard themselves from it, therefore it permitted and commanded us to constantly talk about what Hashem did to Miriam in order that we should remember this. And then the Sifri says further, שנזכר בפה תומי לאיניש הגודל אשר עושה השם יזבורך לצדקס מיריאם הנביא שלי דיבר אלה באחיו. She only spoke against her brothers אשר אהבוסי כנפשו, which she loved like her own soul. וגדלסוהו על ברכהו וסיכנו עצמו להציל מן הים. And she brought him up and she risked her life to save him many times. והילי דיברה בגינוסי, and she really wasn't interested in defaming him to others. Her great error was that she equalized him to the other prophets, and she didn't speak in front of him where it was something which was not true, or she didn't speak in front of him where it would be embarrassing to him, and publicly she didn't, but it was only between her and her brother Aaron, and he didn't even mind. Didn't bother him, because immediately after the Torah says, "Vayish Meisha Onef Miayid," that Meisha was the most humble person in the world. What's the Torah telling us this for? To show us that he didn't mind, didn't bother him this, that they were talking. And even so, we see that as far as the Torah was concerned, none of these hesbainas, none of these calculations helped her. Still, she was punished very severely. So Kal Vachemer, then how much more so Lishar B'nei Odom HaTipshim? How much more so when it comes to other people who are fools, who speak against their fellow man mountains of Lashon Hara and mountains of defamation? So you could imagine what their punishment will be. This is a mitzvah's essay, Gemura. This is a full positive commandment. When we speak of a positive commandment, it means it's a mitzvah, midah Torah, from the Tayyag mitzvahs, from the 613 mitzvahs, like tefillin, or like matzah on Pesach. Everybody knows that to eat matzah on Pesach is a real mitzvah. Well, this also is. See? Same mitzvah as eating matzah on Pesach. And the Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvahs HaKotan, they all count these amongst the calculations of the 613 mitzvahs. And also the Rambam brings this, not in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, but in his Mishneh Torah, which we will mention soon. The Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Tumas Ras in his Mishneh Torah on Tahara, the laws of purity, at the I need a Rambam on Hilchos Tumas Ras. Okay. At the end of Hilchos Tumas Hatzaras, where after he tells us all, teaches us all of the halachos, when it comes to Tumas Hatzaras, how to purify one who was stricken with this plague, the Rambam writes as follows. This type of plague, which really this plague can strike a person, it can strike his home, and it can strike his articles, the Gemara brings. They used to find it on the walls of the houses. And if the house couldn't be purified, you had to knock down the wall, or you had to knock down the entire house. And they would find it also on their garments and on their other household articles. So this type of plague, a person shouldn't think that this is something which came through natural means, like a flu or a virus. No. This was something that came through a miraculous means. This was a disease which came miraculously. It was not a disease which could be clinically diagnosed. But it came miraculously to instruct Israel on Loshon Hora, that they still shouldn't speak Loshon Hora. Shemisapa b'Loshon Hora, mishtanes kiras beisei. Someone who would slander his fellow man, then the walls of his house would start to change color. Im chozaboy, if he stopped, then you thought Abayis. Then the house, the colors changed back, and the house was purified. Imam Abdurishoy. But if he didn't stop with the Loshon Hora, then the walls would continue and it would grow until eventually the deen had to knock down the house. If still he didn't stop, then all of his leather goods, things that were made from hides and skins in the house, would start to change colors. If he stopped, then it would purify. If not, then eventually he'd have to burn all of those. And if still he spoke, it would go onto his garments. If he stopped, then it would be purified. If not, then his garments would have to be burnt. If he still went and slandered others, then it would go onto his skin. To himself, until he would be moved, until he would be singled out as a tzaraas. And the din was everybody had to refer to him, and he's a tzarua. And he would have to go out of all of the camps of Israel. And he would be forced, says Bodu Jeshev, Chutz Lemachne Meshove, he would have to dwell outside of the camp in isolation, alone, until it was cured. This was a way of forcing him to stop from Letzones. Letzones was scoffing at others, and Loshon Hara. And this is what the Torah commands us. We should be very careful not to bring this plague upon us, and we should remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Then he goes through, he quotes what we just quoted, that Miriam spoke only against her brother and the brother that she loved, and so forth and so on. So he says, and how much more so the tipshim amarbim ledaber, the fools which speak all types of Loshon Hara all the time. Therefore, someone who wants to walk upright and he wants to be well, he should stay away from the reshes of Rishoyim v'sichleisim. He should stay away from the groups of people that talk all the time. And this is the way of the scoffers. This is first they talk just idle gossip, idle conversation and harmless gossip. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, "Kol ksil b'rev dvorim." A fool you can tell by how much he talks. A wise person doesn't speak too much. Someone who's constantly talking, King Solomon said this is a sign that he's a fool. Then, from the idle chatter, see, a wise person, he realizes what speech is. Speech is the greatest gift given to mankind. So with each word, he wants to achieve something. He does something with the speech. But fools, they say talk is cheap. So they chatter away. So first they start with idle chatter and gossip. Then they come to start speaking against the righteous. Then they start to speak against the prophets. And then from there they come to speak against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As it says, Shosu b'shamayim piyim l'shoinim da'alech ba'oretz. They speak against the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the heavens, and their tongue walks along the land. How did they come to speak against the Almighty? Because first they start speaking against the land. And this is the chatter and the idle conversation of the Rishoyim. Shegeiremes lehen yeshivas kronies v'yeshivas kiniyasiyai shel amei oretz v'yeshivas beis mishtos im sheis yishecher. He says a person must always keep away from the yeshivas kronies. Yeshvei kronies are people who sit on the corners and they talk. See, usually they have groups of people who have time on their hands. Either they sit in the corners, or they sit in other places where they gather, or they sit in the Beis Hamishta, in the bars. See, bars or other places drinking. And he says, this is the place to stay away from. Because from there, they'll start with just idle chatter, and from there, it will go to gossip, and from there to Loshon Hara, and it goes and goes and goes. Avosicha is Koshi Yisrael, Ein Ela B'divrei Teira V'Chochma. The conversation of those who are upright people of Israel. They speak in Torah, they speak in wisdom, they speak in mitzvahs and good things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them. That's what it states. Oz nidbura yirei Hashem ishal reyo vayakshiv Hashem v'ishma. It says that when two people get together or more who fear Hashem and they speak about things that have to do with Torah or wisdom or mitzvahs, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to listen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Even two people. Kal v'chomer if it's more. And he writes it down in the Sefer HaZikaron. He writes down all of the good things they said. He writes it down in the Sefer. So this is the Rambam writes, and he writes this in the halachos of Tumas Ras, of this plague. And that's what we were commanded, a mitzvah zeh to zocher. Therefore, someone who speaks Loshon Hara, at that point minute, he's transgressing that mitzvah zeh. Because he's not publicizing what took place, and therefore that's the first mitzvah which the Chofetz Chaim, the positive commandment which the Chofetz Chaim mentions that he transgresses. Incidentally, it's worthy to note that we have by tradition, and this is brought in many of the Siddurim, at the end of davening, some people say it every day, we have Sheish Tefilas, six places in the Torah where it's a mitzvah to remember. And since we're speaking about this, we'll just make mention of it. And the Sheish Zechirais, which are brought, are the first one to remember the Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember the going out of Egypt, as it states, L'mantisko reshem tzeitzko me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecho. And that we fulfill, some are actually a mitzvah to fulfill every day. This we fulfill every day when we say Krishna. There's another zechira which is mentioned, but I don't know if it's brought as a mitzvah, but it's mentioned in the Torah to remember the giving of the Torah, the Maimer HaSinai, as it states, Rakishom Elochosh Monafshechom Neoid Pentishkach Esadvorim Asheroe Necho Yim Asheramadet Lifnei Hashem Elokechot Becherif Penyisuru Melavov Kol Yimei Chayecho Veidatem Levanecho Lifnei Monecho. That you should always remember, you should not forget the day which you stood at Har Sinai, and you should tell your sons about it and your grandsons. Then we have a third zechira of Amalek, and that we fulfilled just two Shabboses ago. Zochor es asher osa lecha Amalek. You should remember what Amalek did to you. Leitiskoch. You should not forget. Then we have zechiras Miriam, which we just mentioned, that you should remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Then we have another one, Zohar al Tishkach is Asher Iksafta as Hashem Nekecha Lamidbor. You should remember what Hashem did to you in the desert, and this refers to the Egel Azor, to the golden calf. It's brought that a person, I don't know if this is counted as one of the mitzvahs, but it's brought that a person should always remember what happened with the golden calf. And then we have Zohar is Yema Shabbos Lekatshoi, that you should remember Shabbos. And that we fulfill with Kiddush and Shabbos. Then we verbalize the Kiddush and the sanctity of Shabbos, and now Shabbos is different than the other days. The next mitzvah is a mitzvah which is found in Kedeshim Yutesh Yudches. Leisikim leisitor is bnei amecho v'yo'afta re'echa k'meichani Hashem. You shall love your fellow man like yourself. So mitzvah says a positive commandment to love your fellow man like yourself. This is a very important mitzvah in the Torah. Rashi brings from the Teres Kanim, Omer Rabbi Kiva, zeh klal godel b'teira. Rabbi Kiva says this is the major principle of the entire Torah. V'yo'afta re'echa k'meicho, that you shall love your fellow man. Now what does it mean that you shall love your fellow man? Right. So the Rambam brings in Hilchos Deyos Perekei of Deyos Halacha Gimel Mitzvah ko odom le'av es kol echod mi'Yisrael ki gufay. A person must love his fellow man like himself. Because it says kamecho, ve'after re'acha kamecho, you shall love your fellow man like yourself, which means you should do for your fellow man what you would do for yourself. Therefore, tzorich l'sapir b'shvochei. You should always speak praiseworthy. You should be praiseworthy of him, just like a person likes others to speak goodly of him. B'lochis al memeinei. You should be careful with his money, just like you would be careful with your own money. Kasheru chasal mamon atzmei. B'reitzi b'chved atzmei. You should be careful of his honor, just like you're careful of your own honor. And someone who exploits the downfall of your friend for your own honor, then he forfeits his portion in the world to come. This is what the Rambam recalls. And this is one of the real mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam counts it as a mitzvah in the Chinuch, in the Reish Mem Gimel. Now, the Chofetz Chaim writes that if a person has a shortcoming, if a person has something wrong with him, he doesn't go around publicizing it to others. A person has a moon, a physical imperfection, or a personality imperfection, or a mental imperfection, or an emotional imperfection. What does he do? He tries to conceal it. He doesn't go around telling other people about it. He might tell his doctor, he might tell a psychologist, he might tell a psychiatrist, but he's not going to go tell him. I mean, the biggest proof of the pudding is that doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists know that when they treat their patients, it's highly confidential. Highly confidential. So a person doesn't go around telling these problems that he might have, if they're financial reverses, or physical, or emotional. He doesn't go around telling this to other people. Keeps it to himself. Now you find Reuven sitting and talking to Shimon. And he's revealing all of these shortcomings that Levi has to Shimon. He says, you know, Shimon is this, and Shimon is that, and Shimon is this, and so forth and so on. And he's telling everybody about it. What's he telling people about it for? If it's true, so why doesn't he just shut his mouth and keep quiet? That's the contrary to the after Kamecha. Just the contrary of loving your friend like yourself. You're supposed to take care of your friend just like you would take care of yourself. If you had that problem, if you had that shortcoming, let's say a person stutters, or a person shakes a bit, or a person's very frightened. If you had that problem, what would you do? You wouldn't want anybody to know about it. So here you go, and you're talking and talking, telling people about Balevi, who has this problem. And the Torah said, that you must do for your fellow friend exactly what you want done for yourself. And you're supposed to lochis alkfeide. You're supposed to be careful of his honor because you want people to guard your own honor. No one here, you're disgracing him. You're supposed to speak highly of him and charitably of him. And here you're speaking lashon hara against him. So there could not be, because it's God writes, and rightly so, a greater contravention of the mitzvah after Re'acha Kamecha at the time a person speaks lashon hara against them. See? It's diametrically, he's transgressing it. And the Rebbe Kiva said on this mitzvah Zer Klau Godel B'Teira, this is the major principle of the entire Torah. This means that every time someone speaks lashon hara, he is diametrically rejecting and transgressing the greatest principle of the Torah. Re'acha Re'acha Kamecha. Something to think about, especially in our generations, in our times, when we see that machlekes means nothing. See, at the drop of the hat, it means nothing to make machlekes. Faribo. And this is just diametrically contrary to what the Torah commanded and said, Zeh Klau Godel B'Teira, this is the great principle, the major principle of the Torah. Now, a person should remember, many people say, well, how can I come to that? I understand I'm supposed to love everyone in Klal Yisrael, but that's a big order. It's a big order. many people feel, which is true, I cannot come to love everyone in Klal Yisrael. This person I don't like, and this person gets on my nerves, and this person is not my type, and so on and so on. Alright. Even if you cannot bring yourself to love, a person should try to bring himself, or he has an Ava, he has a love. With all of Klal Yisrael, this was the meat of the quality of the great leaders of Klal Yisrael. Meshe Rabbeinu was ready to give his life for Israel. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchok and Yaakov and so forth. But even if a person cannot bring himself to such a level, but then still he has to conduct himself in such a manner that he would if he would love his fellow man. In other words, the Torah said that you must love your fellow man like yourself, which meant you should love him and you should do for him what you would do, what you want done for yourself. So even if you cannot love him, but that does not free you from the responsibility of doing what you would do for a person that you loved. For example, you say, well, I can't love him. See, he's still obligated to guard his money as if you would guard yourself. Your home, for example, if you see his possession someplace, you have to tell him. You left your car lights on, or you left your car in a place where someone might take it, or you heard burglars and so forth, just like yourself. You have to guard his honor, whether you can bring yourself to that level of actual love. But that has nothing to do with your conduct towards him. That everyone can do. You don't go around insulting people. You must be careful of his honor, just like you want people to be careful of your honor. So therefore, this is a explicit mitzvah when it comes to this subject of Lashon Hara. And unfortunately, many, many people forget that. They claim that they very great and Avash Yisrael and love Yisrael, and at the same time, consistently, they speak Lashon Hara behind the person's back. So that's the second positive commandment. A third commandment, which comes up many times when someone speaks Lashon Hara, and that's what it states in Kedeshim, Yutes Tesvov. Leisasu Ovel Bamishpot, Leisisa Peneidol, Leiseda Peneigodl, speaking about judges. But the judges should not distort the law. They shall not. Two people come in front of them, in front of the judges, with a case. They cannot favor either of them. They're not allowed to favor the rich, they're not allowed to favor the poor. They're not allowed to favor a powerful man. But tzedek tishpet amisecha, you must judge your fellow man, but tzedek, with perfect justice. Now we're not speaking about judges, but the Gemara learns another mitzvah from here. The tzedek tishpeit amisecha, that you must judge your fellow man. You must judge your fellow man. I think that's getting too drafty back there. Maybe someone could close this up. One second. Okay. Yeah. The tzedek tishpeit amisecha, that you must judge your fellow man. The Gemara Darshins in Sanhedrin. Daf Lamed Beis and in Shavuos Daf Lamed. Have you done lekafschus? That you must judge your fellow man favorably, even if you're not a judge, and these people have not brought a case before you. You must, outside of court, you must judge your fellow man favorably. What does that mean? It means as follows. If a person is a Beinoni means generally he's an upright person, he keeps mitzvahs, he fears Hashem, but sometimes he doesn't. That's a Beinoni. Middle class. If he's a Beinoni, and you see him do something which you can interpret either way, it's something which could be all right, it's something which is perhaps not right. Can be interpreted either way. According to the Torah, it's a mitzvah zeseh min haTorah, a positive commandment where you must judge him favorably. You are not allowed to suspect him. You must judge, you must give him the benefit of the doubt. If he's more than a bad day, if he's what is known as an ish kosher yira shamayim, this means this man is a person who's a righteous person. And very seldom would he do a hate or something wrong. Then not only in that situation must you judge him favorably, but even if he does something which logically looks wrong, you still have to give him the benefit of the doubt. See, the first case was where it was shokel. You couldn't judge him either way. It could be good, it could be bad. See, a lot of people many times, immediately they jump and they say, oh, he did this and this because of this and this. See, if you do, you transgress that mitzvah. But if he's a yiras hashamayim, in other words, a person who has a chazoka where he's always trying to do good, then even if it looks bad what he did, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, now, there's a reason why he did it, and judge him favorably. The Gemara goes even further. If he's a Talmud Chochem, the person is a Talmud Chochem. If he's a Rov and a Talmud Chochem, then all the time you must judge him favorably. And if it's impossible to judge him favorably, if it's such a situation that you saw with your own eyes and there's no way that it could be right, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, even then you must say that Bevari also tshuva. If it was wrong, the next day he did tshuva from it already. See, that's when it comes to a Talmud Chochem. So that's the three categories. If the person is a Beinoni, in other words, an average person, that most of the time he does right, but many times he does wrong also. And you see something that can be interpreted one of two ways, by the law of the Torah, you're obligated to give him the benefit of the doubt. Be charitable towards him. And that's what it says, "Tzedek tishpeit amisecho," that you shall judge your fellow man with tzedek, with stoker, charitable towards him. So it's not only referring to judges that litigants come to, but it's referring to every man. First of all, we should always learn not to judge people. Say, we're not asked to judge people. That should be the first thing. Say, we have too many judges. That's the first thing. Baruch Hashem, we're not Baruch Hashem, we're not given the great responsibility to judge people. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's problems. They're not our problems. So the first thing is we shouldn't judge people. But many times we're in a situation where we must. If we must, then we must give him the benefit of the doubt. See, if it can be interpreted one of two ways. If he's a person who's a Yerei Shemayim, who we know that is a person that's always doing good, trying to do good, then even if it looks more bad than good, you still have to judge him favorably. If he's a Talmud Chochem, you must always judge him favorably. And even if there's no way out, then you must say, all right, he did wrong, but the next morning he did tshuva already for it. He's repented from it. Now, many, many times, Loshon Hara, if you'll examine it, the Chofetz Chaim says, is that Reuven saying over what he saw Shimon do. I saw Shimon do this, I saw Shimon do that, and I saw Shimon do this. And many times, many, many times, it's a situation which lends itself to interpretation. So he's transgressing this mitzvah's essay of having done his chavere lekatzchus, that we are obligated by the din of the Torah to judge a person favorably. This is a mitzvah gemurah. This is a real mitzvah, like matz and tefillin, not just a midatayva. The Chofetz Chaim writes, many people think this is a fine azach. It's a midatayva. It's a good thing. But now this is a real mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara dashens it, and the Rambam counts it in Mitzvah Zesei Kufayin Zayin, and the Sefer Mitzvahs are Godled, and the Sefer Mitzvahs are Kotten, and the Rabbeinu Yena. They all count this as real mitzvahs. For someone who always judges his friend with the benefit of the doubt, and this means that the person is a good person. Shows that he has a good personality, good character. He's always looking. The Gemara brings, it's actually a Mishnah in Masechet Oves, that one of the great Tanoim, one of the great rabbis, was asking his Talmidim, what is the best quality that you can find in a person's character? What's the best quality? It's good to know for Shiduchim. If you're looking for a Shidduch, what's the best quality you can find in a person's character? So there were five opinions given there. Five opinions. So one opinion was a good eye. Ein teva. And the converse, what's the worst character you could find in a person? Worst quality you find in a person's character? Is an ein or a bad eye? See, that was one of the opinions. And that's where this gift comes from. If you notice, some people, they see everything, they see the good side of everything. Other people see the bad side of everything. Some people, no matter what you do, look, he has his reasons why he did it. I'm sure that he knew what he was doing, and he's justified, and if it was wrong, he wouldn't have done it. Finished. Okay. That's an eye over a good eye. Other people, no matter what you do, well, I know why you did that. I know why you did it. Because you had this henchman and this and so forth and so on. It's an eye to it. This is one of the worst qualities in a person's character. And one of the best qualities is a good eye, where you see the good side of things. And you try to see the good side of things. And that's where this comes from. And someone who constantly looks at people to see the good side of things, what's his reward? The Gemara says his reward. Judge your fellow man with a good eye, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge you with a good eye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also can look at you with a good eye or not such a good eye. Now by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a little different, because you can't pass anything over him. But he does have the quality where he closes his eyes sometimes. He sees everything he wants to see, but sometimes he closes his eye. See? Sometimes a person does a good thing, but perhaps the intent was not 100% good. Perhaps the intent was 70% good, but not 100% good. If he's the type of person that always sees good in his fellow man, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, this 30% intent that was not good, we're not going to see it. We're only going to see the 70% intent that was good. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts towards man the way he reacts towards others. And if he sees good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only look at the good. And he closes eyes to that which is not good. That's the reward the Gemara says that comes from a person who judges his fellow man favorably. So that's the third mitzvah. As I mentioned, we learn from this not only we're learning about Lashon Hara, but we're learning about many mitzvahs in the Torah which are very, very important. Fourth mitzvah, also very important, states in the Torah in Bahar. Bahar, Chofei, Posuk Lamed Hei. Vehi Yomuch Ochicho Moti Yodi Imaya. When a person will become poor, a person becomes very poor, Moti Yodi Imaya, and he's falling. He's having financial problems, and he's falling. This is like when the Chalila, bad times come. Be'exaktabai, it's a mitzvah, a positive commandment, be'exaktabai, that you shall support him, strengthen him. You shall strengthen him financially. Ger v'seisho v'chai imoch. Whether he's a ger, or he's, or whether someone who's always been a Jew or someone who just became a Jew, and you shall give him Let him live with you. In other words, help him with his panosa. When a person is having difficulties and he's falling, you should help him with his panosa. This mitzvah is brought, this means that the Torah says when he's falling, you shouldn't wait till he falls. Cholila. Because it's brought, for example, you have a donkey or a camel who starts to fall from the load. So those who know, who deal with donkeys or camels, they know that if they'll adjust the load immediately, it'll be easy. Move around the load, take some of the load off, and so forth, it'll be easy. But once he falls, that's a big job to get him back up. So it's the same thing that when you see someone who's having financial difficulties, the time to help him is before he falls. You don't wait till he falls. And that's this mitzvah. Now this mitzvah, there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban. A disagreement between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban holds that this mitzvah is a separate mitzvah from stokah. There's a mitzvah of stokah, of giving charity, and this mitzvah. The Rambam holds that this is included in the mitzvah of stokah. It's included. This is not necessarily referring to giving a man charity, but this is referring to lending him money or other ways and means where he can strengthen his position so he shouldn't have to come out of charity. That when you see he's falling, exactly, then strengthen him before he falls, he shouldn't have to come out of charity. How? Either lend him money or give him, help him invest his money, or give him a job, and so forth. The Ramban holds this is a separate mitzvah from charity, from stokah. The Rambam learns, now this is included in stokah. This is one of the ways of stokah, and we'll see in a minute what kind of way of it is. But according to everyone, this is a mitzvah, esseminatera, a positive commandment in the Torah. Now, it's interesting to note, according to the Rambam, who holds that this is included in the mitzvah of stokah, the Rambam brings, firstly he says, Chayovin onali zore b'mitzvah stokah yeshim mikol mitzvah zese, that the greatest, the positive commandment which we are obligated to be more careful in than any other positive commandment is the mitzvah of stokah. And it was through that mitzvah that Abraham was chosen, and that it is evident through this mitzvah that we're from the seed of Abraham. Then the Rambam brings in Perek Yud Halacha Zayin of Hilchas Matnas Aniyim Shmeina Mailas Yesh B'Tzdokah. When it comes to tzedakah, to giving tzedakah, there are eight ways that you can give tzedakah. Eight ways. Zu Lemaila Mizu, and each one is a different standard. Each one's a different level. We've got into all of these when we give shurim and stokah. Now we're interested just in this one. He says, "Ma'ale gedele shein lemala mimeno." The greatest way of giving stokah is this way: "Hamachzik b'yad Yisrael shemoch." That when a fellow man starts to fall, and you give him a matoni, you give him an outright grant, or a loan, or you take him in as a partner, or you give him work. If you know a man that's struggling now, and you're in a position to send business his way, in order that he will strengthen his financial position, and this way now he won't have to come on to charity. This is what it states in the Torah of Exactabay, that he shall strengthen him, shalipil, that he shall not fall. So this mitzvah, the Rambam counts as the greatest level of all stokas. Greatest way you could do stokas to someone else. Okay. Now the Chofetz Chaim brings, and this is a very, very serious matter. If a person speaks Lashon Hara against another man, and it's the type of Lashon Hara that can affect the person's professional reputation. For example,
for example, he says that this person is not a trustworthy person. Right. Or if this person is a worker or a professional, he says he's not such a good doctor. He's not such a good dentist. He's not such a good tailor. He's not such a good builder. Whatever the case might be, that Lashon Hara can affect his parnasa, as we all know. That slander can slander, you are defaming his professional reputation, and that can affect his parnasa. And at that time, you are being mevatel the mitzvah's essay of helping a person with parnasa. Torah commanded that we're obligated to help another fellow Jew with parnasa, to send business to him, to aid him. So if someone takes away from him, but it's not justified, if he takes away from him, then he is guilty of transgressing that mitzvah asay. And if the Rambam holds that this is Shmeina Mailes B'Tzdokah, there are 8 levels of Tzdokah, and the greatest level of all Tzdokah is to help a person with business, and now I am causing him to lose business. So it's a tremendous mitzvah, a tremendous positive commandment that the person is transgressing, that the person is contravening. This is what the Chofetz Chaim writes. He says, if we're obligated to help the person, so how much more are we obligated then that we shouldn't cause him to lose business? Now, he writes that this is all where you damage a person's professional reputation or his business reputation, because you want to defame him, you want to get him, you want to hurt him. There are some times when we're obligated to do so, to save another person from a potential damage. For example, what happens if I know that this person is stuck? It's true, this person is not a trustworthy person. And I hear you want to hire him. Or I know that he's an awful craftsman. And I hear you want to hire him. There are sometimes we are obligated to help the other fellow out to see that he's not damaged by this person. Unfortunately, many, many people, and especially in our time, they think that this is the greatest mitzvah. See? If you tell someone that this one is a lousy worker, and this one, I don't like the way he worked, and I didn't like what he made, and so forth and so on, they think this is the greatest mitzvah you're doing. There are times when you are justified and obligated to do so. But you must be very careful to know the halachas then. Now, the Chofetz Chaim goes into this at length. We don't have time to go into it now, but just to give you an idea what it involves, this is in Hilchos Rechilus in Klal Tes. He brings, for example, that if you see your chaver wants to take in a partner, he wants to take Reuven in as a partner, and you know that Reuven is very bad for him because Reuven is not a good person, and he's going to take him for a ride, he's going to steal from him, and so forth and so on. And you feel now that it's your obligation to go warn your friend about it, which is v'after re'acha k'meicha. Like we mentioned, you must love your fellow men just like you. And if I'm hiring a person and this person is a potential danger to me, and you know about it, I would like you to tell me about it. So the same thing over here. So he says you're obligated to tell him. Obligated to tell him, but on 5 conditions. The first condition is that you should be very, very careful that you know what you're talking about. You should be very, very careful that you're absolutely certain what you are talking about. The second condition is that when you tell him, you must tell him exactly what you know and not more. Many times we add to it. And if you add, then you're guilty. The third condition is you are permitted to tell this person only for the sake of benefiting him. But if you're telling the person also for the sake to hurt this other man, or to get back at him, or to take revenge from him, that's Lashon Hara. Only allowed to tell him for the purpose and within the limits of saving the other person from a possible damage. And therefore, he says, also this means that you're only allowed to tell him if he'll listen to you. If you know he won't listen anyhow, so then you achieve nothing by telling him, then it remains just Loshon Hara. Many times we just tell people just out of conversation. The fourth condition is you're only allowed to speak this Loshon Hara to your friend if that's the only way you can save him from this damage. If there are other ways you can do it, then you're not allowed to get involved with the Loshon Hara. And the fifth condition is you're only allowed to tell your friend this only if no actual damage will come to Reuven. For example, you wanted to hire Reuven, you wanted to give him a partnership, so if no actual damage will come to Reuven, it's just that this that you are going to give him will not be given to him, then it's allowed. But if an actual damage will come to him from it, then you're not allowed. For example, if they'll go beat him up, or they'll go do something else to him, or he brings, now this is very relevant, what would be if he already hired him? See, we're speaking where he didn't hire him yet, or he didn't make the partnership. What would be if he already hired him? He says, in such a case, then really you cannot tell the other person. If through this he will fire him. Why? You have no right to tell the other person anything. You have no right to harm this person in a greater way than if you were to come to a Beis Din, to a court, and the court would administer this punishment. And if you would come to a court and say that Reuven that's working for Shimon is a thief, the court couldn't do anything about it because you're only a single witness. You would have to have two witnesses. So if there's already a deal made between these two people, you could only break this deal only through a proper court action. So you'd have to find another witness and come to Beis Din. But on your own, you wouldn't be able to come to Beis Din, and therefore you wouldn't be able to tell the other person either. Once he gave him the job, once he's already finalized the deal, couldn't tell him. You could only tell him for this degree of action that you should be careful of this person. You should be suspicious of him. But if you know through this he's going to break contracts which he's made with him, that's illegal. Because that's a contract, that's an agreement. And that takes a court action. And he's not allowed to do that without a court action. And on your say-so, that's not sufficient. So these are many of the points that are involved in such a thing. So therefore, when it's not justified, it comes out that you're breaking one of the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah, because the Rambam says, Stoko, or Mechuyim, to be more careful with than any other positive commandment. And he says to bring Parnosa to another person is of the greatest form of Stoko. And here you're taking Parnosa away from a person. So you're breaking one of the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah, when it's not justified. But even if it's justified, you must be very, very careful. You have to think through the thing very, very carefully and proceed with great caution before you are damaging someone's professional reputation or someone's panosa. Now this is something that was poshut. This was something which was common and understood by all people. The fact is, you go out into the marketplace by many people, by decent people, and it's understood. For example, you go to a doctor and you'll see he's very careful about speaking negatively about another doctor, or one lawyer against another lawyer, or one dentist against another dentist, because they know that they're treading on very, very serious water, talking about damaging other people's professional reputation. And this was something which was understood all the time amongst decent Jews. You don't say anything about another person which can be mekapeach, which can come and take away from his panoso. If you were happy with the shoemaker, good. If you weren't, so you take your shoes to some other person, but you keep your mouth shut. You don't go around saying that he's not a good shoemaker. This was something that all decent Jews knew. And if someone asked you, usually they try to get out of it. They wouldn't say he's no good. They would say, look, I use a different fella. And you come to your own conclusions. Unfortunately, and even tragically, in our generation, in many cases this has been forgotten. People talk without any responsibility whatsoever that this person is no good, this person doesn't do a good job. And meanwhile, all the time, they're damaging people's panosa, people's business. And unfortunately, even tragically, today we find it among so-called Haredim, among so-called Truma people. It was always known that a person would never open his mouth against someone if he felt that it could damage his panosa. Today people talk, they talk against Sheikhtim. Now, once we gave a shiur and we spoke about speaking against Sheikhtim, as far as Lashon Hara is concerned. But there's another cheshbon also. As far as Panosa, people speak freely that this sheikhet, don't trust this sheikhet. This sheikhet is not good. Meanwhile, they're causing loss of business by him. They'll talk against butchers. I buy from this butcher, but I wouldn't trust this butcher. Besides Lashon Hara, you just talked him out of a customer. That's this mitzvah. They'll speak against teachers. People in chinuch. He's not a good teacher. They're threatening his position. They'll speak against Rabboni. And it's tragic. Because a lot of this talk comes from people who hold themselves as Truma Jews. Whenever there came a case of Bikuach, there came an argument. Chazonim, the Chofetz Chaim writes in a place. Everybody sits down, and after the Chazon davens, and everybody puts his opinion on the table. Is he a good Chazon? He's not a good Chazon. Chofetz Chaim writes. It's real Lashon Hara. Not only that, you can cause a man to lose his position. If you got enough people start saying he's not a good chazan, so that's all the committee needs on that. Next year they'll bring in a different chazan. Are you on the committee? That's your job, to hire chazonim. You liked him good, and say you liked him. You didn't like him, so keep your mouth shut. Go daven in a different place. Go listen to another chazan if he's that bad. He writes this in a place, the Chofetz Chaim. This is unbelievable. Right, if a person from his panosa, they chase a man out of his job for no reason whatsoever. Now it was always known that whenever there came to be a vikuach, a litigation against the sheikhet or some type of person like that, because there were complaints against him that he wasn't 100% the way he should be, they had complaints against him, the Rabbonim and the Gedalim dealt with those cases with the greatest caution and the greatest precautions, because they were caught between two sword's edges. If the complaints are true, so then they have to remove such a man. And if they don't, so then it's not a good situation. If they remove such a man and the complaints are not true, if they remove him where it's not totally justified, you know what they're doing? They're taking a person's profession away from him. And it was always dealt with the greatest cautions and precautions. The fact is, I've mentioned before, that it tells the Rosh Hashiva Ramotchai Gifter, my Rebbe, one time in the yeshiva, a group came to complain against the woman, a woman who was the cook in the yeshiva, that had certain complaints of kashrus against her. They had come to the conclusion through witnessing that there were certain things she was doing in the kitchen that was not 100% kosher. And she was a widow. And they came with a committee to voice their complaints that this woman should be removed. And when they came to the Mordechai Gifter, he refused to have any involvement with it whatsoever. He says, you're not going to get me involved in causing a woman, a widow yet, to lose her parnosa. No, sir. No, sir. Go to the other Rosh Hashivas, but don't come to me. I'm not getting involved. And I saw that he made a very simple cheshbon, that his portion in the world to come would be far greater if the complaints were true and he still allowed her to stay than if the complaints were not true and he had a hand in forcing her to be removed. So he was playing it safe. No way could they get him involved. And this always was the hanhoga. This was always the conduct of Rabbonim and Gedali Yisrael and decent Jews. And today it's tragic that people, not only are they speaking Lashon Hara, but it's the type of this Lashon Hara where it defames a person's professional reputation, which I have found all the time amongst decent Jews that didn't keep any mitzvahs, were very careful with this, to defame another person's professional reputation. And they think yet it's the greatest mitzvah. Greatest mitzvah to tell someone this restaurant is more frum than the other restaurant. You can trust them more, go there. Say, or this sheikhet is more frum than that sheikhet, or this butcher than that butcher. And meanwhile, driving customers away, taking panosa away from people. The hour is getting late. I didn't get to the mitzvah where I wanted to link it to our parsha. But I think that since the hour is getting so late, we'll just have to stop here. So we covered then four mitzvahs. One was the mitzvah of Zohar as Asher Osa Hashem Elokecha leMiriam, that you should remember what Hashem did to Miriam, because the leprosy came because of Lashon Hara. And therefore you should remember it, and you must verbalize it in order to be careful from this. The after the Acha Kamecha, that you should love your fellow man like yourself. And that means that you must do to him what you would want done to yourself. You must care for him physically, and you must care for his covet, his honor also. And therefore speaking against him and defaming him is disgracing him, which is just the opposite of caring for his honor, as you would want your own honor cared for. Besedek tishpeit amisecho, that you shall, we're obligated to judge each man favorably. And many times when we speak Lashon Hara, it's based on something what we saw, and we're looking at it with an ayin ra, with a bad eye, instead of an ayin teva, a good eye, to judge him charitably and to judge him favorably. And then the fourth mitzvah was v'chiyomu chochicho, that when your fellow man is falling, then it's a mitzvah to strengthen him and to send business his way, one way or the other. So the Chofetz Chaim says, so therefore if you cause a person to lose business, you definitely transgress that positive commandment. Now that positive commandment, according to the Rambam, is part of the mitzvah of Tzedakah, which we are obligated to be more careful with than any other positive commandment. And he says that's the greatest level of Tzedakah, of the eight levels of Tzedakah. To help a person, not with outright charity, but by sending him business in order that he could financially build himself up. So this means when it's Lashon Hara, which defames a person's professional character,
And by that you're causing him to lose business, besides the tremendous Avera of Loshon Hara and all of the other Averas also. We come in here to a tremendous Avera of causing a person to lose potential business.
These were the four mitzvahs that we dealt with this evening. We'll have to look for other opportunities to continue with this. There's a total of 14 positive commandments, and they're all very, very interesting and very relevant, not only for the sake of Loshon Hara, but for the mitzvahs themselves. We should be zeicher to learn from these mitzvahs, because these mitzvahs, as we can see, bring perfect a man. They bring perfection to him, bein odom lechaveri, between man and his fellow man. And they bring shalom in the world, they bring peace in the world. And we should be zeicher to see the growth of such qualities in Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.